This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
For now, though, the Energy Institute Statistical Review of World Energy, that's what we'll be speaking about today. Now, this is basically a kind of a comprehensive report looking at various issues around energy around the globe. So it's energy production, consumption, trade, emissions, all of it included there. And this report actually has various stakeholders coming together to ensure that it comes together. I think it's because it's such a mammoth task, right, to be taking stock of all of this information on a global front. And joining us this evening to unpack this review, the latest one, it is for 2023, is Prashan Reddy, who's partner at Akani. Prashan, good evening to you. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Good evening. Thank you so much for having me.
Prashan, before we get into the nitties of the report, let's talk about the importance of this review, why it's done, and maybe even the scope, right? Because I do imagine that it's quite a big one.
Yeah, I think what's quite important is, so this is the 73rd edition of the report. It's a report that started in the 1950s, and Akani is a partner and a co-author to the report in terms of the research and the outcomes of the report. Why is it important? It's important because it is probably the single most valuable report in terms of an overall view of all energy consumption for the entire world across all primary energy sources. So that's oil, gas, renewables, power, et cetera. So it really is comprehensive, as well as coal. Very comprehensive view of all types of energy sources and how the world has actually consumed that and produced and consumed that energy over the last year.
Now, of course, the title of this report is A Year of Record Highs in an Energy Hungry World. Help us put that into context, please.
Yeah, so primary energy consumption reached a record high of about 620 exajoules, which is 2% higher than 2022. So it's a record high of energy consumption around the world. I think there were a couple of other record highs. For the first time, the world also consumed about more than 100 million barrels of oil, and also coal was up about 1.6% from 2022. So overall, there was a significant growth in energy consumption. But what must be noted is that fossil fuels, that coal, oil, and gas, continue to play a significant role in our energy consumption as a world.
And then I'm keen to get into some of the nitties, of course, that emerge here. And I want to speak really about solar and wind and them being an important part of the energy transition and even the renewable makeup around the world.
Yeah, absolutely. So this year was, last year, 2023, was also a record high for renewable energy generation, which increased about 13% to 4,748 terawatt hours. So it was a significant growth, mainly driven by wind and solar. Of all electricity generated by renewables, 74% of that came from wind and solar, actually. So it was a significant growth in wind and solar, particularly driven by China. China actually added 55% of renewable generation to their mix in 2023. So they were one of the biggest contributors, whereas, for example, Africa only contributed about 6% of its electricity generation from renewables, which is still a very small number. But on the other end, Europe, where we've also seen a significant uptake in renewables, their fossil fuel levels actually dropped below 70%. So most of the new generation that's occurring in Europe is also coming out of renewables.
I also want to speak about, the very important fact here, Prashan, and that's the dependence on fossil fuels in the major advanced economies. That has peaked. It tells me that there's an uneven picture on the world here.
Yeah, for sure. I think between Europe and the U.S., it's clear that we're starting to see a reduction in the demand for fossil fuels and an increase in demand for renewable energy. But this is not the case in the emerging markets of India, China, for example, the continent of Africa. We start to see, when you look at the data, that the picture is a much slower in terms of the transition. And in fact, in Africa's context, closer to home, 90% of all our energy use comes from fossil fuels. So we are not seeing an even sort of distribution when it comes to the reduction of the use of oil and gas and coal towards new renewable sources. We are seeing a sort of a patchwork, if you will, of how energy is being consumed around the world. The challenge with this, of course, is, as you know, the whole world has made a commitment to reduce their carbon emissions so that we can bring temperatures down by between 1.5 to 2 degrees Celsius. But the challenge with that is that you would need a coordinated effort across the entire world to ensure that that impact can be felt from an emissions perspective. And right now what we're seeing is that that is extremely slow in terms of progress.
I also would like then to touch on, of course, the various issues happening around the world in terms of a conflict, geopolitics, and how they've also played into the trends that we are seeing emerge from energy.
Certainly. I think, you know, we've seen the disruption, of course, in gas supply in Europe with the Ukraine conflict and, of course, the reduction in gas demand from Russia. Which has resulted in an increase in imports of gas into Europe. So Europe has still been demanding gas, but they've been having to import that from the U.S. and other parts of the world. So there's been an increase of imports of gas into Europe from around the world, and that's really caused a major disruption to gas flows across the world. So, you know, it's caused pressure on gas pricing and increased gas pricing in other parts of the world that makes it, you know, more competitive and less feasible sometimes to even execute some of the natural gas projects in other parts of the world because of the high demand in Europe. So those kinds of conflicts have certainly had an impact on energy. We also see the uncertainty in the Middle East having an impact on energy, both from an oil trade flows, but also from the growing potential of renewables as well.
I want to speak about also the shift that we're seeing here with China overtaking Europe for the first time in terms of energy use per capita. Does that speak to population size, you know, Prashant? What exactly is driving that?
Yeah, this is quite an interesting one. I think what has actually happened, and there's a couple of trends to examine there. I think China, as we all know, is the manufacturing hub of the world, and in their industrialization growth has been significant over the years. I mean, they've grown, you know, from an economic perspective, quite quickly. And if you really think about it, all of that manufacturing that is happening in China, in fact, has been displaced from Europe. So much of what Europe used to manufacture is now being manufactured in the East or in other parts of the world. And of course, that has resulted in an increased energy demand in China. What's also ironic is that, you know, the manufacture of renewable components like solar panels, for example, are also being manufactured in China, which is a significant contributor to the world of solar panels in terms of supply chain. But that, of course, also then drives up their own manufacturing and energy demands. So by them actually contributing to the energy transition by manufacturing solar panels, they've actually also increased their own energy demands within their own country. So what we've seen is that, of course, that's the reason. It's not necessarily population growth that's driving it. It's more that the further industrialization and growth of China itself as a manufacturing hub of the world has increased its energy consumption.
Then I must also ask you if we know where India might play in all of this, because, of course, that's one of the fastest growing economies in the world. Even under all of the macro strains, India is really a global shining star. Do we know what their energy pictures are like, Prashant?
We do. And I think certainly here we've seen India take a slightly different approach to China in that their renewables acceleration hasn't been as quick as China's. India, in fact, its fossil fuel consumption is up 8% and largely driven by still a continued investment in coal. And in fact, more coal was used in India than in Europe and North America combined for its energy consumption needs. And I think the reason for that is, of course, India is growing rapidly as well, just as China is. But it also then has a high demand for energy and a cheap access to a high amount of coal reserves. So hence, they have exploited those reserves and continue to do so to ensure that they stabilize their economy and grid and ensure that they continually are able to supply enough power. And hence, they're still invested heavily in the coal agenda, which I guess may be criticized in terms of, you know, not investing significantly fast enough in renewables. But of course, it's been access to cheap coal that's allowed them to do that.
Prashant, all we have time for this evening. Thank you for taking us through this very fascinating report here, really giving us a fantastic, a comprehensive picture.
Thank you very much.
Wonderful, Gopal. That's Prashant Reddy, partner at Carney, with that World Energy Review there. I think various parties came together to put together the report, and also just speaking about the fact that developing economies like ours are still heavily reliant on fossil fuels, and that the more advanced economies, I guess what we might call the global north or the developed world, they've peaked and they're kind of on a decline there. But all of this also happens on the very important backdrop. It was a full year without COVID-19 restrictions. It was a full year of the Ukraine conflict and the Middle East conflict, of course, that still persists. And so we do see that in some places of the world, you know, it's green there. But that was also urgent for those areas because of the high emissions that were coming from there. South Africa, our story still remains that we're just not the biggest emitters in the world. But of course, we are under pressure. Like I would have said earlier when we spoke about the climate change bill, we now live with climate change. We don't speak about it as a future thing. We don't speak about it as something that might happen. It is here with us. And so it becomes important for us not to sweep under the rug the importance of still being able to contribute whatever we can to ensuring that we pull back on the damage that has already been done.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.